as a guide, I think, for these days after Easter, an image comes to my mind that I'd like to share with you. Late last summer, I went to Balboa Park and was hanging out at the merry-go-round, the one next to the parking lot of the zoo, next to the trenino, the little train. And three couples came, and with assorted children, and two young men, maybe in their 20s, maybe they were uncles to the kids. And they bought tickets for the merry-go-round. And the children had not been on the merry-go-round before. They enjoyed it. But the young men instructed the children how to go for the brass ring. And so they circled and circled. And the young men got lots of iron rings, and they got some brass rings, and the children lurched. But each turn, each cycle of the merry-go-round became more enjoyable because they were going to go and grab one of those rings. To some extent, for us Catholic people, Christians gathered together, this is another turn of the merry-go-round. Easter, one of our big feasts, the biggest feast. And I would encourage, because it can be routine, this circle, 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 circle of the liturgical year, that we be eager and be aware of leading off whatever we're riding, a dolphin, a tiger, a horse. Some very eccentric animals are on that merry-go-round in Balboa Park. And many of our lives are lived on top of some very odd and peculiar situations. And we know that we, as we turn annually or monthly, we get different perspectives of life, our own lives, different challenges, different opportunities, some ho-hum, and some excitement, some challenges, some fears, but we are changing. And so my encouragement to you and to me on this feast, that we reach out for something of the scripture or something of the mystery that we're celebrating that gives light and meaning to the next circle, that's turning of this merry-go-round of life. And I have three that I would like to reach for, and I suggest that you will have others, but I offer you my three. And be aware that this merry-go-round of life, and when we reach out for meaning and purpose in light and life, we're doing it not just on our own. There is, in all of our mysteries of Christian living, is the preeminence and the initiative of God, not our reach, but His leaning toward us. His leaning and reaching toward us. Because often enough we know our reach, our desires exceed our reach. We can't get there. And so I suggest by the small indicators that we see in the scriptures that brush against our lives today. Three things. The gift of peace. Jesus greets his people, "Peace be with you." Again, I say, "Peace be with you." It seems like it's more than just a casual shalom, peace. It is peace. Peace I leave with you, peace I give to you, is the prayer we say before we receive communion. Before we go, peace be with you, let's exchange peace, we say, peace you have given us, peace you have left with us. And when he appears to the disciples in these occasions that we're reading and experiencing once again, he comes to them in a most peaceful manner. confused on the way to Emmaus, two guys discussing and arguing what's happened in Jerusalem. He comes to them and walks with them and explains things to them and wants to go home with them and have a meal. How more peaceful can that be? When he sees the poor fishermen struggling with their catch, he says, go ahead, pitch, try again. And when you finish, come to the shore, we'll have breakfast. So these simple manners, the urgency of Jesus saying, peace be with these frightened people behind locked doors, settle down, peace. The second thing I would want to be touched by and would reach for is a greater confidence. Call it faith. We heard the story of Thomas today, doubting Thomas. Thomas who wanted conclusive, arm-wrenching facts and convincing. And when he was offered it finally, come forward, Thomas, you double. Come forward if you want to touch my wind. Touch them. He doesn't. In awe, my Lord and my God. That confidence, that trust, that brims over to saying that life, the life of Jesus, was right. That mercy and kindness and care for the abandoned and forgiveness of sin and the healing of wounds and the putting back together of things that are broken and weaving together of life that is so threadbare. He was right. The resurrection brings that forward and touches us, and we need that confidence. That confidence, which is not arrogance. It is simple acknowledgement of this is the way it is. And the third thing I'd like to have touching me and reach out to be the kind of a brass ring of sorts would be what I see in the apostles after the resurrection. It's change. But it's the biggest change that you hear from the readings is a change from fear to action. Because they were fearful, they absorbed their lives with one another, they went behind locked doors, and they hid themselves. They were afraid. And after these appearances, after the Easter, after this turn of the miracle round that we experience, we can hope for that we will go forward in the next cycle, perhaps, with a measure of overcoming our fears, a measure of placing our confidence in the Christ, a willingness to accept his peace. Those are small gifts, but they are encouragements, I know. Because you see, the merry-go-round keeps going, whether we're on board or not. And we need this. We need a touch of the magic, the wonder, the mystery of Christ's presence with us. In peace, in confidence, and in a lack of fear. May the name of the Lord be praised.